payment limits and the actively engaged reforms that you've heard me champion for years, and we've talked about it probably almost every Tuesday when you and I meet. And these are things which Congress, as you know, have overwhelmingly approved in both houses. These have all been watered down to the point that they will likely have little or no effect. This is bad for agriculture, surely bad for the taxpayers who are worried about our $17 trillion debt. And, of course, it hurts the credibility with our trading partners. It's bad for the credibility of the Farm Bill. Have you noticed that the title of the Farm Bill no longer contains the word reform? It's pretty obviously why. Getting the farm program back to its original intent was thwarted, as I've said so many times, by a majority of both the House and the Senate. It's one of the few areas where Republicans and Democrats have come together this entire Congress. The hard cap on farm payments and the closure of the actively engaged loophole go hand in hand. The conferees effectively made the cap non-existent and put young and beginning farmers at a tremendous disadvantage compared to the big farmers that get highly subsidized to drive up the price of land and cash rent. Allowing a new shallow loss countercyclical program to pay out $250,000 on its own is more than a step backwards. This is especially true since the program is linked with high target prices. Independent analysis showed there is an 80% probability of triggering farm payments for certain crops in this bill. This stands in stark contrast to the provisions that passed both the House and Senate with bipartisan majorities. Furthermore, under the current Farm Bill, a married couple can only get about $210,000 from a combination of direct and countercyclical payments. So you can see how that $210,000 figure is now a lot higher. In addition, by kicking the actively engaged provisions over to rulemaking at the Department of Agriculture with a number of instructions for the department to follow, by doing this, the opponents essentially stripped out the core of the reforms that I put in. The Department of Agriculture will now have a chance to prove it can salvage the common sense reforms that Congress agrees on. The Government Accountability Office clearly showed the department's prior rulemaking was not enforceable and resulted in continued abuse. With all that said, there are a few things I like in the bill. I'm glad the government isn't going to completely control the milk supply like some members originally wanted. I'm ready for questions. And I'll start with Tom Ryder.
Good morning, Senator. Senator, I was curious, sir. Will you be voting against the Farm Bill when it comes up if you're not able to get an amendment to put back the payment limits strengthening provisions that you wanted?
I'm going to read the 957-page bill before I make that announcement, but I'm very disappointed with what I've already told you about the payment limits. And that's something I've been fighting hard for, and that's going to carry a lot of weight with my decision. But I think I have a responsibility to make sure I read the whole report, and I think I'll have a few days to do that. The other thing is that, unlike your question implies, I don't have an opportunity to amend a conference report. Okay. A conference report gets voted up or down.
And so basically, you either have to vote for it or against it then when it comes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, sir.
And I will also be discussing it with other Midwestern farmers because I think you know that from Ohio west to Nebraska and from Missouri up to the Canadian border, there's a little different view about a government safety net for farming compared to that of Southern agriculture. But this bill is written for Southern agriculture. And probably is going to have a lot of problems with WTO.